You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcoming to the show now, Dr. Michael Van Straten. Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
I am very well indeed, thank you. How are you?
Very good. And we're going to start off today with a big intake of fruit and veg will reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes.
Yes, that's a fabulous story. You know, I thought people have had quite enough of gloom and doom and viruses and all the rest of it. We'd have a good, healthy, sensible story. You and I have spoken for years about the importance of what people call the Mediterranean type of diet. Lots of fruit, lots of vegetables, whole grains, and not too much meat, plenty of fish, good olive oil.
Yeah.
And there's a new study which was produced yesterday it's been published. It's going out in the journals today, in fact, that shows in the British Medical Journal that in a huge study of 24,000 people altogether, they compared the diets of half of them with the diets of the other half, and they looked at the incidence of type 2 diabetes. And in the half that ate much more of the good fruits and vegetables and whole grain cereals, the incidence of diabetes was at least 25% less, and in some cases far more reduced than in those who ate virtually little or no fresh fruit and vegetables and hardly any whole grain cereals. They lived on, you know, burgers and chips and white bread sandwiches, and they avoided those simple and cheap healthy ingredients.
Mm.
And, with this worldwide growing epidemic of type 2 diabetes, I mean, we're seeing it in, you know, in kids before they get to their teens even these days. When I was a student, it was a disease of late middle age. You know, you saw it in people, particularly people who were pretty well seriously overweight, but in their 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And never in children. It was unheard of in children. Now it's commonplace, and it's a scary thing because, you know, even though you can be controlled and well controlled by good diet and medication, it's still a serious impact on people's lives. And the risks, the long-term risks, are really horrendous. Blindness, terrible circulation problems leading to sores and wounds and infections, and very often loss of limbs, because if you don't control the diabetes, then it gets out of hand, and people tend to control it by changing their medication. So if they have had a really bad day of junk food eating, they take more of the medicine.
Mm.
And that really doesn't work, because it creates a huge stress on the body's sugar control metabolism, and then you get the results. And of course, loss of sight and eventual blindness is one of the most common.
And so we all know this, really, don't we? I mean, obviously, this is a great bit of evidence to back it up in the surveys with 24,000 people published by the BMJ. It's great to have that, and it's welcome, because it means that actually diet plays a massive role in overcoming diabetes or reversing it. But it's no great shakes here, is there? We all kind of knew this anyway.
Well, exactly. This is not sort of, cutting-edge science. This is not some huge new discovery. This is something which we've known for years and years and years. And lots of the people who are called epidemiologists, they study the spread of disease in different populations. They've known for donkey's years that if you look at, for instance, the work done by an amazing man, he was a medical doctor, a British, who went out to work in Africa as the sort of the doctor in charge of health for what in those days were parts of the British colonies and Commonwealth. And he was particularly interested in bowel disease, and particularly in things like diverticulitis. And he was a famous, well-respected doctor. He has a particular type of cancer named after him because he discovered it. So he's a brilliant man. And he observed from his studies that when the local inhabitants lived in their villages and ate their traditional foods of ground pulses and maize and corn and lots of vegetables, and they were very poor, so they ate what they could grow and what they could catch. There was virtually no incidence of appendicitis, no incidence of bowel disease, particularly diverticulitis, and no bowel cancer. As soon as those populations started to move to the big cities, to the ports where they could get jobs that paid lots more money than they could earn in their villages, working on the docks, within a short space of time, they were living on the typical Western junk food diet, and they started to develop all these digestive diseases in the same proportions as the local residents did. So he knew this. I'm talking here 60 years ago. And he wrote papers and he published stuff. And he worked with a famous surgeon at the Trade Union Hospital in Hampstead in those days. And their operations for diverticulitis were very common. You know, the surgeons were doing three or four a day. And they cut the bad bit out and joined the two good ends together. And then 5 or 6 years later, they had to do another operation and cut more out. And in the end, the poor people ended up with colostomy bags or ileostomy bags. And within 2 or 3 years of changing the dietary advice to all these patients, they hardly ever did the operations again. It was just amazing, because diverticulitis disappeared with healthy eating. And that was same was true of lots of other illnesses, and we've known it about diabetes, of course, particularly type 2 diabetes. I mean, the type 1 diabetes, which you're born with, that is not related to what you've eaten, or that's just a genetic disease, and very familial and very tragic. But for type 2 diabetes, children who get it should blame their parents. They should sue their parents for, giving them junk food and letting them eat junk food. It's appalling.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Let's move on to our next one then. A new genetically modified threat is now on the way from Monsanto, a modified corn seed that will be resistant to 5 different chemicals, including, let me say this right, Michael, hopefully, glyphosate. Do we want to eat it?
Glyphosate, yes.
Glyphosate.
This is a scary, scary story. I wasn't going to be depressing today, but I think this is something which people should know and understand. There are lots of people who don't like the idea of GM foods. That's why they've never had much development in the UK, because the public didn't want them. And the politicians realised that, and they voted to ban most of them. And all those huge, great experiments were all dug up, and they were trampled on by the public, and, people trampled. It even made a headline story in The Archers when one of the young farmer's boys got together with a group of friends and they trampled down a field of experimental GM crops. But worldwide, it's a different story, and particularly in America, where they've gained huge use. So much so that if you buy soybeans in America, they're all marketed by the sort of soybean board who controls it all, and they mix together all the GM and the non-GM soybeans when they come into the storage places. So you never know if you eat soybeans. The chances are, unless you're buying organic soybeans, the chances are you're eating genetically modified ones. And the truth is that there have been many serious scientists who have raised red flags about the use of GM foods. And particularly when they're used, as they're going to in this corn crop, to produce a resistance, particularly to the chemical weed killers. Because if the plants are resistant, you can use these chemical weed killers that kill pretty well everything, and it won't affect the crop. The crop will survive, but everything else dies. Well, the first thing that's happening is we are now developing a strain of super resistant weeds, which are becoming resistant to some of these weed killers, so that defeats the object anyway. But yeah, also, there are many of them which are highly, highly toxic. After all, like sort of one drop in a thousand will kill all the grass weeds, then it's a powerful stuff. And there have been many questions about the glyphosate, particularly Roundup is the trade name of the particular chemical. I mean, that's now been pretty well banned from sale here in France. I'm not sure about the UK, but you can't buy it in your local garden shop. It's been banned. They've had to develop non-chemical varieties of weed killer. And what we know is that firstly, with the whole question of drift of spray, when you spray anywhere near places like schools or populated areas or organic farmers' fields, these chemicals drift with the wind and the spray and settle where they're not wanted. And there have been many instances of people being ill, children getting seriously ill, organic crops being destroyed, and basically the farmers ruined because they lose their certification if they find, you know, one plant infected with a weed killer on an organic farm. And several of these farmers in America tried to sue Monsanto, and Monsanto turned around and sued them for illegally growing their seeds on their ground. Monsanto owns the copyright on all these GM seeds. So you can't, as in the old days, the traditional farmers, particularly in places like France, rural France and Spain, would harvest their corn or their maize. They would keep 20% of it as seed for the next year and eat the rest. Well, now, with these GM seeds, you can't do that. You're not allowed to grow them from the seed that you saved because you're infringing the copyright of Monsanto, and they'll sue them. It's pants off you.
Big money. That's the bottom line here, isn't it, Michael? We go through all the details of it. It's big money involved here, isn't it? And that's a massive issue here. It's money.
All it is. It's huge, huge money. In fact, Monsanto has recently been taken over by the German company Bayer Pharmaceuticals. So they're now even bigger and even more powerful than they ever were before. And, you know, there have been some good people around. I'm going mad. Who was the actor who played Dirty Harry?
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood. Yeah. When he was the mayor in California, he introduced a new law in California that prevented the chemical companies from suing the farmers like they used to.
Yeah.
So then Monsanto found themselves with all sorts of lawsuits for organic farmers who've lost their livelihood because their stuff has drifted into their farms and they've lost their certification for being organic. And so, I mean, there's one of the good guys. He was a strong guy and he did the right thing. But all over the world, I'm afraid it's honestly true to say that money talks.
It absolutely does, Michael. Yeah. Well, let's see if we can sneak in one more here. Then that's a fascinating one. In spite of some negative comments from probiotics in the past, a new study in the BMJ Nutrition Prevention and Health Journal tells a different story. A diet which is rich in probiotics alone or combined with prebiotics has been shown to reduce symptoms of stress, anxiety, and depression. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left on this one, Michael.
Well, okay, fascinating story, terribly important. We've talked often about the benefits of probiotics, of eating live yogurt with your food, of eating fermented foods like sauerkraut and kimchi and all those other fermented products which are rich in with probiotics.
Yeah.
And we've known for a long time that they help to protect you against the side effects, for example, of having to take antibiotics, because they stop you getting diarrhea caused by the antibiotics killing off the good bugs as well as the bad bugs. But this is a whole new picture, and they found in this very large, wide-scale study that people who have a good intake of prebiotics mixed together, or probiotics on their own, more effective if you have the prebiotics, like the finished yogurt and the real beneficial gut bacteria, have a much, much lower incidence of stress problems, anxiety problems, depression problems. And, you know, here we are again fighting the giant amounts of money and profits that the chemical companies make from selling tranquilizers, anxiolytics, antidepressives. If you eat well and you get the right foods, your chances of needing treatment for these sort of illnesses goes down dramatically, yeah, or in many cases goes away. So, you know, anybody out there who's listening who has anxiety problems, stress problems, particularly if they're suffering with depression, make sure you have in your diet every single day a good dollop of probiotics and prebiotics. You don't have to go and buy expensive pills or capsules or anything hugely expensive from the health food shop or the pharmacy. You just need to eat more of the right things.
Yeah.
And that is good live yogurt, natural yogurt, which hasn't been pasteurized, to eat plenty of the good whole grain cereals and the good foods which provide all the prebiotic benefits. Like, as I said before, things like fermented foods, sauerkraut, pickles, all those delicious things which are nice to eat, but enormously beneficial. And, yeah, and it's cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Again, and that's always been the argument, hasn't it, that people can't afford to do it. But actually, get some decent yogurt. They don't go for just don't go for the basics. So get some nice yogurt that's got some great ingredients in there as well.
If you really want it cheap, make your own yogurt. It's the easiest thing in the world.
Oh, you see, you're asking me to do something now, Michael, aren't you?
Very, very easy. Listen, buy a pot of really good live yogurt.
Yeah.
Eat 3/4 of it. Keep the rest. Mix it with a couple of pints of good quality full-fat milk, preferably organic if you can get it, but any milk will do. And stick a cover over it and put it in a warm place. Stick it in the airing cupboard and leave it for 3 or 4 days, and in the end you'll have a great big bowl of yogurt.
Yes.
And you keep a bit of that to make the next batch. And you keep a bit of that to make the next batch. You've then got yogurt for the cost of a pint or two of milk for years to come. That's all it costs you.
Good stuff, Michael. It's not, don't need to break the bank, especially at the moment as things are. And I know you've got some great recipes on your website, Michael, so would you like to give us more information on that, please?
Oh, sure. Have a look, listeners, do please, because it's very easy. It's www.michaelvanstratton, all one word, michaelvanstratton.com. And it's full of hundreds of recipes, all simple, all because I'm no chef, I'm a cook. I'm a home cook, and anybody who can read can do those recipes. It's also got lots of advice of all sorts of illnesses, how to change your diet, what vitamins would help you or wouldn't, and all sorts of lots of information, and it's all free.
Yeah, and somebody put on Facebook earlier, a friend of mine, said, I've heard very little about exercise and nutrition with all the COVID-19 stuff, because surely if you're exercising, if you're getting a good balanced diet, that's going to put you in a better place and, for your immune system, of course.
Of course, because exercise, stimulates the natural hormones of your body, the activity hormones, and a good diet stimulates your immune system. So if you look after yourself in that way, and again, you don't have to live on, you know, hugely expensive fillet steak or prime fishes. The cheapest cod and a packet of frozen peas is a very healthy meal.
Yeah.
And very inexpensive.
See, I like my mushy peas, but that's probably not as healthy. But anyway.
Not quite, but they're not bad.
Michael.
And also, one thing to say, frozen or even canned vegetables are probably more nutritious than ones that have sat around on a display rack in the sunshine and the dust and the heat for days on end.
Really?
Because they're mostly canned or frozen as they're picked.
Ah, yes.
So don't knock them. If you can't get good fresh fruit and vegetables, use canned or frozen. Frozen, a bit better, but even canned are much better than rotten old ones.
Yes, absolutely. Michael, as always, font of knowledge, and we'll speak again soon, Michael. Stay safe and take care.
Talk to you.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.